Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, Republican judges are killing us. This week, the decision in Dover, Delaware, that intelligent design was not even allowed to be mentioned in their public schools was handed down by another Republican-nominated judge, that's U.S. District Judge John E. Jones. And he said, in fact, that the effort by the school board to introduce intelligent design was breathtaking inanity, and there was a hostility against creationism and young people being taught about creation, and that from a judge that was nominated by George W. Bush just 3 years ago in 2002. Now, also nominated by this president to the U.S. Supreme Court is Samuel Alito, and we've discussed this nominee. And we have looked at his record and showed that in case after case, in most of the last 15 years, he's ruled on the Planned Parenthood side, the pro-abortion side of case after case, issue after issue. And we have with us an attorney who represented the New Jersey legislature in a case brought by Planned Parenthood where they were suing to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey. Richard Collier, welcome to Bob Benyard Live.
Thank you, Mr. Enyart, and Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you. Now, Richard, we've talked about this case, and it is an honor to have you on the show since you argued the case before the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, and Samuel Alito was on the court. Is that correct?
Yes, there were three appellate judges, and he was one of the three.
And can we also let the audience know that you're an acquaintance of Alito's outside of the courtroom, that you guys, through your brother, and you guys have an acquaintance that goes back a little while.
Yes, he worked with my brother when he was in the U.S. Attorney's Office. My brother is a DEA agent, and he also worked with me when I was the chairman of the Federal Practice Committee of the New Jersey State Bar Association. And he's a very, very likable man. I don't know anybody who doesn't like him personally, and he is a very intelligent man. He always asks me how my brother's doing, that type of thing. But of course, none of that qualifies him for the Supreme Court.
No, Richard, now, when we've discussed Alito, I'd like to go over some of the things, the concerns that we've shared with the audience, things that indicate to us that he is not qualified to receive support from pro-lifers or Christians as far as being confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the first case that we normally talk about has to do with partial birth abortion in New Jersey. And so you can, I'm sure, confirm to us that Samuel Alito did not rule and come down on the pro-life side of that effort.
No, far from it. He joined in by filing a concurring opinion that went along with the two other judges. So all three judges ruled that partial birth abortion must stay legal in New Jersey, and it was the New Jersey legislature's attempt to ban it was held unconstitutional.
And with this, you know, we could get into the details. I've read some of what you've written about that case. And actually, the details, I think we only have a brief time together. It seems to me the details are not quite worth it because the overview of the case is sufficient. Partial birth abortion is probably the most obviously egregious form of abortion. All abortion is murder. But partial birth abortion, could you explain to the audience what that is?
It's a very late-term form of abortion. It only takes place after 20 weeks because the baby has to be fully formed and able to be delivered through the woman's birth canal. And what they do is they induce delivery of the baby And when the baby is 90% outside of the mother's body, so that the legs, the torso, the arms are outside of the mother's body and can clearly be seen by anybody in the room, the doctor then, when the head is still in the birth canal, the doctor sticks a scissors or other sharp instrument into the base of the skull in the back of the head and makes a hole there. And then he sticks a vacuum cleaner into that hole and sucks out the brains and the rest of the contents of the baby's skull.
Just so devastating.
Which collapses the baby's skull. And then he completes the delivery.
So basically it's a breech birth where the baby's coming out feet first, and they stop before letting the entire baby come out, because then it would be murder. And they stop just before the baby's head comes out, and then they kill the baby.
Yes.
And that's what, of course, many people in America are fighting to keep legal, many of our judges, many of our Republican judges. So Samuel Alito had this come before him. And I noticed in one of the emails you've sent out, you argue that there is no moral excuse for any judge to rule in favor of murder, of killing an unborn child, of abortion, and of course with partial birth abortion. So at a high level, Samuel Alito was arguing that, well, he's simply following precedent. Isn't it right? Isn't it? I'm going to ask you this facetiously, isn't it the right thing to do for a judge to follow precedent, regardless of what that precedent is?
Well, that's what all the cheerleaders for these nominees are saying, is that what we want is a judge who will follow precedent. And in general terms, that's true. We do want people who are sticking to the Constitution and not making things up as they go along. However, in certain cases, when you're dealing with something that's a crime against humanity, and this is clearly infanticide, there's no question that that's a living human being who's visible to anybody in the room that's being killed, and intentionally killed. When you're dealing with something like that, you can't follow precedent. We have the overall precedent of the Nuremberg trials, where it was clearly the principle that was established there was that you can't hide behind the positive law, the Constitution of your country, as an excuse for committing a crime against humanity.
Well, for committing murder.
For committing murder.
I mean, governments, absolutely. It's not as though once you're in the government, you can no longer commit murder or kidnapping or stealing or rape. If Saddam Hussein tells some of his henchmen to rape the daughters of one of his enemies, that doesn't mean, well, then they can do it with impunity because it's now justified. It's still a crime, even if a governing official commits it.
That's right. Or authorizes it.
And so what we have, we're in a crisis, and we're talking to the attorney who represented New Jersey in the case that Planned Parenthood brought to try to stop their partial birth abortion ban. And we're talking to, his name is Richard Collier. And Richard, we are in a crisis because the pro-life movement in America and our national Christian leadership, they have crossed over to the side that is legal positivist. That is now, and we've been documenting this for some years on the air. Just 2 weeks ago, I flew down to Florida and gave a presentation on this to D. James Kennedy's ministry, Reclaiming America, to his executive director, Gary Cass. We did the same thing to Dobson's Focus on the Family, to his VP, Tom Minery, and others, where we're documenting that our Christian ministries are becoming legal positivist, like Gary Bauer said about Samuel Alito. When Alito voted to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey, Gary Bauer, who's run for president as a Republican pro-life leader, he said that Alito did exactly what a judge should do. We are in a crisis, Richard, because very few of our leaders realize that legal positivism is wrong. Could you talk through that and help me explain to the audience the danger of elevating the law above every principle from God?
Oh, I agree with you that you know, we prosecuted the Nazis at Nuremberg for just following orders. And I do not see any difference between just following orders in their case mm-hmm. and just following precedents in the case of somebody who is rubber stamping a decision that says that babies can be murdered.
Well, I guess one difference is the Nazis were killing Jews and Alito is killing babies indiscriminate of their ethnicity, but babies who are in their second and third trimester.
Makes it worse as far as I'm concerned.
Worse because the more innocent and vulnerable a victim is, the more heinous the crime.
Well, also the greater the scope of the murders. I mean, it's bad enough that you're trying to wipe out one segment of society, but this is indiscriminately attacking pretty much every segment of society.
Yeah, war on children, and in America, about 50 million babies have been killed. So we do have this crisis, and I believe what's happened is there's been a shift in loyalty, and Christians, and I don't know, you might argue with me about this a bit, but Christians have shifted their ultimate loyalty from God to the Constitution. And the Constitution is an agreement made by men. And some things in it may be good, other things in it may be bad. You know, the Article 1 counted blacks, most blacks, as three-fifths of a person, and it taxed the importation of slaves, $10 per slave. And so there are some things in the Constitution that were wrong.
Well, I don't disagree with you at all. And in fact, I think what has happened is that this focus on the Constitution tends to lose sight of the fact that the Constitution was framed by the same people who drafted the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration clearly says that the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness comes from our Creator and not from the government. And in fact, it says the government exists only to protect those rights, and if the government doesn't protect those rights, we should get rid of it. So it's clear from the history of our country that the Founding Fathers recognized that we have a right to life from the very fact that we're human beings, and this legal positivism stands for the proposition that, no, it's the government that confers rights on you. And that's just not the case, and it certainly was not the case that was recognized by the founders of the country. And it doesn't make any sense that the same people who risked their lives in fighting against the mighty British Empire and to advance the cause of the Declaration of Independence, these same people would then turn around and draft a constitution that says that the right to life doesn't exist for certain people. It just does not make any sense. And so,
well, in the
I agree with you that that this legal positivism, this focus on the Constitution, is certainly excessive right now, and that whether deliberately or just through ignorance, many people are in many cases raising the Constitution above the Ten Commandments.
Above God, actually.
Above
legal,
God.
Yeah, legal positivism is when you elevate the law above God, and where God says thou shalt not murder, men could make a side deal, and they could call it their law or their constitution, and many countries have many different constitutions, and then they say this constitution takes precedence over thou shalt not murder, and therefore our Christian leaders can justify Samuel Alito for upholding late-term abortion in New Jersey in the case of partial birth abortion. About 4 weeks ago, I was in Indianapolis and presented a seminar called God and Government. And there was a gentleman there. I think he's sort of retired from his legal career, but he's a Harvard lawyer, got his degree at Harvard Law School. And he said that Antonin Scalia just recently spoke at Yale, and he was asked, and he was making the argument that the judge has to uphold the law and not insert his own opinion. And a student asked him, well, what if you were a judge in Germany? And the Germans, they, you know, the laws were coming down from their supreme judge, who was the chancellor, Adolf Hitler, and that you need to kill Jews. What if you were a judge in Germany? And his answer was, well, then I would have been tried at Nuremberg. That's according...
And some of them were.
Yeah, some of the judges were. There was one or more lawyers that received death sentences. A number of judges received life sentences. And today we've gone from that to where our Christian leaders are applauding the judges who would have been convicted of murder at Nuremberg.
They're calling what is clearly a vice a virtue.
So this Samuel Alito, he's ruled on a number of cases that touch directly on the abortion issue. And in one case, it regarded the wrongful death of a fetus. Now, you weren't involved personally in that case, right?
I was, actually.
Oh, you were. That was Callan Alexander?
I filed one of the friend of the court briefs in that case.
Okay, an amicus brief. And could you tell the audience about that case? Because that gives us another window into the mind of Samuel Alito.
Well, in that case, a pro-life lawyer here in New Jersey filed a challenge to the New Jersey wrongful death system, the statute that allows recovery when somebody is wrongfully killed by the negligence of another person. And he specifically challenged the rulings that say that if the baby makes it out of the womb alive, then the baby has a claim against a doctor who may have committed malpractice while the baby was in the womb.
Right.
But if the baby does not make it out alive, the baby has no claim under New Jersey law.
And that
was challenged on equal protection grounds and due process grounds and a few other constitutional and other legal theories.
And therefore, the parents would have no claim either, so that if a pregnant mother is going to a doctor for care and he commits malpractice, medical malpractice, and the baby dies, then he should be held liable for the malpractice and the wrongful death of this baby. So
right,
seems
New Jersey law does not allow that.
New Jersey law doesn't allow it. It seems reasonable. There are a number of states that allow that. The federal government now allows it with the Lacey and Connor law that was passed.
Right.
And so it's reasonable that that if somebody commits a crime against a pregnant woman and her baby dies, that's also a wrongful death. What did Alito rule on this concept?
Alito and the other judges on that particular panel held that there was no constitutional violation in the New Jersey system. In other words, New Jersey was perfectly free to
dismiss,
not allow compensation for babies if they were killed in the womb.
And including, and that goes beyond abortion, that is when there's negligence.
That's right, exactly. Malpractice or perhaps even a motor vehicle accident, any sort of claim.
A drunk driver kills a pregnant mother, her baby's 8 months old in the womb. Maybe he doesn't kill the mother, maybe he just kills the baby.
That's right. The mother might have a claim for any injuries that she suffered, but she cannot recover for the injuries to her baby.
For the death of her baby. Now, a decision like that, you know, when somebody supports abortion and they're pro-choice, that's supporting the unjust killing of an innocent baby, and that's called murder. But some decisions are so egregious because it should be obvious even to people who don't love God, like partial birth abortion should be obvious to everyone. Well, this is another case where even if somebody says they're pro-choice, many people who say they're pro-choice can recognize that if a baby is killed in the womb through negligence or during the commission of a crime, that that is a wrongful death. Here is Samuel Alito, who pro-lifers are lobbying for, and he is rendering these extremist decisions, these extreme pro-abort decisions, that partial birth abortion should be legal in New Jersey and that a fetus has no claim for wrongful death. Would you agree that that's an extremist position?
Oh, absolutely. And in both cases and in other cases that he has ruled on, The excuse that he uses is that he's bound by precedent. In the wrongful death case, he relied on Roe and Casey. In the partial birth abortion case, he relied on Stenberg versus Carhart, which had just been decided a month or two earlier. So whenever some sort of decision has to be made in the abortion area, he hides behind precedent, which is in contrast, by the way, to how he is characterized in other fields. We are told both by his supporters and his detractors that he is a bold conservative. And you see his boldness in areas such as religious liberties, where he really pushes the envelope and tries to advance the ball a little in favor of religious liberties. Well, what I ask is, where is that boldness in the abortion area? Why is this fellow who's so intelligent and so bold and so supposedly conservative, why is he not using his intelligence to advance the ball in favor of the life of the babies?
Yeah, if a man is a judge and a law is passed and he just receives it as the context of his job, the law has been passed, it's been upheld. Let's say the law says either it's legal to kill Jews or it's legal to kill babies. And then a case comes before him. If he doesn't have the authority to overturn that law, he has two just options. He could resign in protest, or he can issue a proper ruling anyway and risk being thrown off the bench. He could say it's wrong to kill Jews and no legislation justifies it, and I will not give my support to that interpretation of any law.
Yes, and that is a big debate that is going on among some judges, such as Justice Scalia and others, who take the position that they, as judges, are bound to follow the Constitution, and if they come to a case where they cannot morally go along with what the Constitution says, they either have to recuse themselves, in other words, take themselves off of the case, or else resign from their judgeship. Which, of course, in either of those situations, whether it's recusal or resignation, they are, in effect, turning the decision over to people who will do the wrong thing. The people who take that position debate with others who say that there are certain principles of natural law, such as those recognized in the Declaration of Independence, which are so carved in stone, so to speak, right from the days of the Ten Commandments, that they are higher than the Constitution and must take precedence over the Constitution. And certainly, I don't see any reason why a judge can't say, no, I am not going to enforce Roe and Casey and Stenberg when it means murdering innocent babies.
Well, and here at Bob and Yurt Live, we for quite a while have talked to people about natural law and the whole natural law movement, which I actually think, if we reconsider it, reevaluate it, it's dangerous, because I believe the purpose of the natural law movement was to discount God's special revelation, Scripture, where God said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, to discount God's special revelation of Scripture as authoritative, so that people who don't like God could be brought in to support a common legal principle. And so they call it natural law. But there's no law of nature that dictates whether or not countries have the right of independence. And so this whole concept of natural law, I believe Christians have been somewhat seduced into going and supporting that, when actually it was an effort to bring in people who were in rebellion against God, so that no one would have to look to God's special revelation, because God did reveal. He did write on stone. He did say, and there are four of the Ten Commandments lay the foundation of a criminal justice system. Others have to do with other issues in life. But the four, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not commit perjury, bear false witness. But there are a lot of people who don't want to acknowledge God, and so they look to natural law and the law of nature. And the problem with nature is that animals eat one another. You know, animals eat one another. Dolphins rape, gang rape female dolphins. And so looking to the laws of nature as a source for a foundation of governance, I think, is one of the mistakes, the politically correct ideas of a few centuries ago that has hurt us.
Well, I don't agree with you entirely there. I hear what you're saying, and I agree to some extent, but I still am one of the adherents of the older natural law tradition before it was stripped of God. I think maybe we are talking the same thing, but the problem is that the terms have been debased over the years. Mm. One of the points I was making, though, is that there is an ongoing debate between those who say a judge must resign if he can't do something morally, and those who say, no, that judge can continue to sit on the case and make the right ruling based on a higher law. And that's the point I was trying to make, that there is a major debate going on about that principle.
Well, it'd be nice to see judges do one or the other.
Right.
In America.
I think either one would be a vast improvement over what we have,
yeah,
which is
over rubber
cheerleading for
right.
judges who go along with the precedent no matter what it is.
And, you know, when our Christian leaders do that, they're helping to destroy the lives of these judges, because these judges get influenced by Focus on the Family or the American Family Association. They get influenced by the National Right to Life. And when they see these pro-life organizations affirming and supporting judges who've ruled to kill unborn children, that affects their position, and they begin to do wrong things that they may otherwise not have done.
There's no incentive for them to do otherwise.
Right.
They get the approval of those organizations and of the president, no matter what they do. So,
right. And there were many other cases that we only had this short time, we're about out of time, that Samuel Alito ruled on the Planned Parenthood side, the abortion side, of case after case. And you have to go back almost 15 years before he even partly ruled on the pro-life side of an issue. But almost always it was ruling in favor of the abortion industry. And so now we're stuck with the whole pro-life community practically lobbying to confirm Samuel Alito for life to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, for many years we were told that we need a candidate who has no paper trail. Mm. Now we're being told here's a candidate who has a paper trail, and it's entirely negative.
Yeah.
So we should pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Pay no attention to that
right.
paper trail.
What a great point. Richard Collier, thank you so much. Do you have a website?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll benefit from continuing to read your emails. Richard, thank you so very much.
And God bless you and your listeners.
All right. Merry
Christmas.
I really appreciate that. Merry Christmas to you. Richard Collier, the attorney who represented New Jersey, trying to keep partial birth abortion against the law there as Planned Parenthood sued to make partial birth abortion legal again in New Jersey. And Samuel Alito voted to keep even that grotesque form of late-term abortion legal. All right, we're out of time. I want to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha at 72nd and Oak. And by the way, Denver Bible Church now meets at Maranatha. And this Sunday morning, it's Christmas, so there's no Sunday school, but come and join us at 11 o'clock for church Christmas morning.